The children of Israel crossed the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army was drowned. And then Moses made some mistakes. And because of his mistakes, he was not able to enter the promised land. So there was a guy named Joshua. Joshua was his successor who led the children of Israel across the Jordan River. And now they're getting ready into the promised land. And now they're getting ready to take Jericho. And God has given them some specific instructions that I want to read to you today. It's going to show you how roadblocks are going to come down in your life. It says this. Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israels, because of the Israelites. And some translations said they were walled in. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men and do this for 6 days. The next thing says this. Verse 4 says this. Having seven priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in the front of the ark. And on the seventh day, march around the city seven times with the priests blowing the trumpets. Verse 5 says, when you hear the sound of a long blast of the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Let's try that right here. Can y'all just shout, thank you, Jesus?
Thank you.
That sounds real good. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in. You know what happened when y'all, somebody said it again, thank you, Jesus. You know the Bible says that the name of Jesus, demons tremble. You know what happened when you said that? Every demon has been messing with you, start backing up. You can't see it, but it starts taking its hand off your problems. Because when you say Jesus, it's more than just noise. But everything that's been troubling you, you're troubling it. So here's how our problems, our roadblocks are going to come down. Number one, you got to identify the problem or the roadblock in your life. Every roadblock is a problem because it's holding you back from your destiny. Say you're here and your destiny's here and your roadblock is in the middle. Can I ask you a question? What's your roadblock? Your roadblock could be negativity. Your roadblock could be your temper. Your roadblock could be debt. Your roadblock could be your past mistakes. Your roadblocks could be negative things people are saying about you. It could be all kinds of stuff, but whatever's trying to hold you back from your destiny, touch your neighbor and say, it's coming down today. Now think about this. God tells you, I got this for you, but your roadblock is right in front of your face. God said your boo's about to come through. If you're single, he's about to bring somebody in your life. But God, I don't trust people. God said, it's time to start a business, but my credit's jacked up. God said, things about to turn around, but God, you know what's going on in your life. But before you get started doing anything, you got to identify your problem. The problem for the children of Israel here was that the walls around Jericho was stopping them from getting in. Jericho was a city that trusted its walls because it didn't trust its offense, so it trusted that its walls would keep people out. Here's the thing about this. People who put walls up, it really has little to do with you, but everything to do with them. People who are guarded, they won't let people in. It's not necessarily that people are bad. It's not necessarily, I want to tell somebody here who has a problem trusting people. It's not that you can't trust everybody, you just can't trust anybody. You got to know who it is that you're trusting, and you got to let your guard down in the right situation. And God said when your guard come down, you can connect with people on different levels. It's all right to trust people on different levels. I'll trust Isaiah to a certain extent. Isaiah's 11. If I gave him the key, if I gave him my debit card, we would have M&Ms and Nike shoes and Jordans and jerseys all over the house, and we'd be put out because he doesn't have good judgment. The problem is we've let our guard down with people who've not had good judgment. And you got to be able to determine a person's judgment to know when the wall will come down. That's a relationship thing. But here's the thing. Your roadblock that's in your life, it is going to come down. Because when you have a wall up, nothing goes out and nothing comes in. And watch this. You may be protected from people, but you are not living out your fullest potential because you're not really dealing with the walls in your life. So the first thing is this. You got to identify the problem. There are walls around Jericho. The second thing is this. Get a promise from God. So God knew there were walls around Jericho, but he said this to Joshua. Then the Lord said to Joshua in verse 2, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its kings and its fighting men. When God made him a promise, he didn't even mention the problem. The problem doesn't matter when God makes you a promise. And the reason many of us ignore God's promise is because we think God is ignoring our problem. God says, you're about to be this, but God, you don't see what's in front of my face. Here's the reality is God doesn't care what's in front of you. He knows what's on the other side of your fear. He knows what's on the other side of your struggle. So here's the thing about God. He don't talk problems. He talks promises. You all right in here? Because the solution to every problem is in the promise. But the promise is ignored. I thought about what that looks like this morning because many of us, our problems are telling us how to act. Our roadblocks are telling us how to act, but you need to get a promise from God. There's a young lady, I don't even see where she was, but I went to UTC with her, and we had our freshman year, I don't even see where Vicky went to, but I had a Vicky, I went to UTC with her, and we had Dr. Sihu. She remember that our freshman year, our English class, we had a teacher, and I remember when God began to speak to me about writing books. He said, Jason, there's some things in your heart that I want you to write down, and as soon as God told me to write, I was reminded of my term paper in high school. My term paper in high school was so bad that my teacher knew I was going to graduate. She just said, here, take it back. She didn't even give me a grade. She said, I can't even deal with this. It was that bad. I remember writing. We had blue books in college that we would write answers. I remember the blue book back in the day. I remember some of my answers were so bad the teacher just gave back to me and circled it and said, I have no idea what this is. I remember Dr. Sihus, I was in his class. He gave me a paperback and said, I want you to rewrite this. He said, you have good content but bad articulation. Here's what happens in many of our lives. We want to do something. My content was my promise, but my articulation was my problem. Many of us never reach our promise because we don't deal with our problem. And God had enough sense to know that my teacher gave me my term paper back. He had enough sense to know that I struggle with English, and he still told me to write books. God is telling some of you to move forward in life, and you're reminding God of your problem. And God said, I don't care about your problem. I got a promise. As a matter of fact, instead of letting your problem prophesy to you, because my problem said you can't write, you will not write, you will not go forward. But my promise said, if you write it, I'm going to make it a bestseller. And I got a question to you. Who are you going to listen to, your problem or your promise? When you get bold and in faith in God, you will have enough nerve to tell your problem what your promise has to say. And I told my problem, you know what? God called me an author. As a matter of fact, I don't have to say nothing now. I got two books to tell my problems. And when Satan tells me I can't write, I don't have to say a word. I can just wave my hand. I want to challenge somebody in here that Satan is telling you that you can't make it, that you won't go for it. When Satan says you can't, God says you can. When Satan said you wouldn't, you shouldn't, God said you should. Why? Because I trust my promise over my problem. And here was the problem with many of us in here, and I feel a preacher coming out. You are letting your problem tell you how to live. Your problem will say this, you'll never break generational curses. Your marriage will never get better. You'll never get out of debt. But whose report will you believe? His report says I'm debt free. His report says I have peace in the middle of trouble. His report says I'm healed. The problem says I'm sick, but God says I'm healed. Whose report will you believe? I dare somebody in here that's going through something. I dare you to prophesy to your problem and say, you're not going to hold me down. God's got something greater on the inside than I ever imagined in Jesus' name. But when you have a promise from God, you'll look your problem square in the face and say, you're not going to stop me. I can't stop. I won't stop because God's got something greater. I deal with fear. It bothers me to get in front of people. I question myself. I have insecurities. And God said, start a church. He says, preach every Sunday, and I want crowds three times of this because people need to hear the gospel. Do you not know there's not one Sunday I get up here that I don't feel my nerves get the best of me? But I told my nerves, if you're going to stay here, you ain't going to stop me. You might as well take a seat and witness what God does in my life. And some of you have been trying to get over stuff. Instead of focus on getting it over it, focus on ignoring it and going in the direction that God wants you to go in. If it ain't going nowhere, it might as well take a seat and witness what God wants to do in your life. You all right in here? After you get a promise, identify your problem, get a promise from God, the next thing you got to do is this. God always follows his promises with a plan. Following God's plan is how you focus. Remember I told you to focus? Said you worry too much about your problems. It's hard not to worry when you got 188 numbers calling you. And you know when your utilities companies, you know that number coming in. You send it to voicemail because you already know what they're telling you. It's hard not to focus on negative things when they're in your face. Do you know how you focus on the promise of God? You follow God's plan. Because when God speaks to you, he did just like he does the children of Israel. There are two things with God's plan. He gives clear leadership. There's always a leader with a word from God. If you're leading in a situation, get a clear word from God. I want to speak to you what God spoke to me. He's about to focus you in this season. Are there any of you who feel like you got 1,001 ideas and you start a whole bunch of stuff but don't finish nothing? God said, in this, I'm talking to some people in here. He said, in this season, I'm about to narrow you down to show you exactly what to do. This week, you're going to be an attorney. Next week, you're going to be a nurse. This week, you're going to start a business. This week, you're mad. Next week, you're shouting and bucking. God said, I'm going to focus you in. Y'all know what I'm talking about in here? This week, we're on top of the world. Next week, nobody knows. You're just down at the bottom of the barrel. God said, I'm about to level you off and focus you. He said, clear leadership is what you need. The next thing he said is clear direction from God. God said, I want you to circle the city every day once for 6 days. And on the seventh day, you're going to circle it 7 times and you are going to shout. The direction was very unusual. But here's the thing about God's plan. God's plan always matches his promise. When you come up with something, your plan matches the problem. I'm going to let that sit for a minute. But God's plan matches the promise. If we were to come up with a plan, if we had a wall in front of us, it would require bombs. It would require a sledgehammer. It would require a ladder to get over it. But God said, you don't need none of that. This is the season for sweatless victories. God said, you're not going to work for this one. You're going to walk in faith. He said, this is not your muscle on test. This is your faith being tested in this season. He said, I want to see, can you praise me with your problem in your face, knowing you got a promise on the other side of it? How many of us have made up our own plans in the face of pressure and in the face of our problem? But always remember this, God's plan always matches his promise. God will have you doing some unusual stuff. He'll have people that you know are not doing you right. He'll tell you to go speak to them, love on them, bless them, give them a gift card to their favorite restaurant. He'll tell you, if you know your family messed up, God said, throw a family dinner. You say, uh-uh, not today. If I do, it's going to be a little something in their food, and they're going to all just be sitting there like this. God said, no, you ain't going to treat them bad, because God's way of winning is always love. No, he will. God's plans are not our plans. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. But here's the thing about God. His way always work. Touch your neighbor and say, God's ways work. All right, here's the next thing here. So God always follows his promise with a plan. And here's the next thing about God. Every plan requires performance to see the promise manifest. I love it. Coach Chestnut, we got several coaches and athletes in here. It's one thing to practice, and every player, they talk a good game until the clock starts and game time hits. Real time brings real pressure. And under pressure, can you perform as well as you can when nobody's looking? Under pressure, when your problems are staring you in your face, can you execute what God says? Now, it's one thing to be sitting here today, we talking about praising God, my wall is going to come down. But when you meet your wall on Monday morning in the form of an email, what you going to do? Are you going to get ready? Are you going, I'm going to get it today? Or you going to say, God, I'm going to trust you. This is the day you have made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad. I'm going to follow in your strength, because pressure busts pipes, but pressure also reveals diamonds. So you got to decide what's going to happen when you're under pressure. Is the diamond in you going to be revealed, or you're going to bust under pressure? You got to follow God's plan, which was unorthodox. Here was God's plan. He said, take the Ark of the Covenant with you. He said, march around again 6 times. He said, 6 days once. On the seventh day, blow a trumpet, march around it 7 times. Shout. Here's what happens with God's plan. Here's the performance. Number one, you got to take the Ark with you. The Ark of the Covenant represents the presence of God. I want to challenge you in here. Take the presence of the Lord with you. They sing a song. Take the Lord along with you everywhere you go. Before you make a move, you ask God, I know this is a good move, but this is a God move. Can you ask yourself this week? Before you do anything, I know this is good, but is it God? Take the presence of God with you everywhere you're going, because your intellect is not enough in this season. The next thing is this, they marched on command. If you got a problem following instructions, if you got a problem with authority, you're probably struggling with your destiny in this season of your life. Can I tell you something? You can have a promise, you can have a plan, and still have roadblocks. I know what that looks like. When I was in college, Kim remembers it. She was there in Chattanooga. The Lord blessed us. We had a college ministry. And every once a semester, we had a giant college night. There were kids, sanctuary about the size of this. They were outside shouting, praising God. We had college choirs come in from everywhere. The Lord put that in my spirit and said, this is what we're going to do. And I told some people, and I said, this is what we're going to do. And we began to plan. And I went to UTC, and I went on UTC's campus, and I went in the University Center, and I put our little flyer up. And I went back a little bit later, and the flyer was gone. I went to the business building where I had my classes, and I put the flyer up. And I said, oh, they're going to come out. And I went back a little later, and the flyer was gone. I called some people together and said, y'all, it's time to pray. The devil is busy. I said, the devil is removing my flyers. He don't want this bill. He don't want this event to go forward in Jesus' name. But we're going to come against every demonic stronghold. I mean, we were pleading Jesus. And finally, in one of the meetings, somebody raised a hand. And I said, oh, they got a word from God. I said, what's the Lord speaking to you? And the lady said, I got a question for you. And I said, what? She said, have you asked anybody, can you put them flyers up? I said, no, I never thought about that. I wonder why there was no little extra push buttons up there. I started bringing my own. I was taking other flyers and putting two on. Y'all know what I'm talking about here. I found out the reason why they were taking my stuff down was not the devil. It was me. It was my ignorance. And once I went and asked and got permission, Lord, they opened up the whole campus to me. Can I tell you the reason why many of us are facing roadblocks is because you won't listen to nobody. You got your own plan. You got your own idea. You're going to do it your way. Come hell or high water, I don't care. I'm going to go down swinging. How is that working for you? I don't care what they say. The doctor said, you need to cut out with that stuff. I'm going to eat country ham. I don't care what they say. They just find you passed out, got to wake you up in your car. You say, I don't care. How's that working for you? Whenever you have a promise, I don't care how great it is. Can I challenge everybody in here? Hear me when I say this. Do things the right way. Oh, I cannot say that enough. When you do it God's way, you're going to get God's results. But anything you do in your own strength, on your own dime, and on your own intellect, you're going to be responsible for taking care of it. But when I do things on God's will, it's God's bill. God's going to take care of everything that I do the right way. So they had clear leadership. They took the ark with them. They marched on command. They had a voice that was heard. When they shouted, the walls responded. Here's what's going to happen when you obey God. I'm believing God by faith that when you talk, you're going to get heard the first time. How many mothers do I have in here? I'm going to believe God this week. You ain't got to call your kid's name 10 times. You're going to say it once. They're going to get an attention. They're going to say, what you want, mama? I believe in God. I thought the mothers would say, amen. Y'all throw something at me. Shake something. Throw a towel, a scream. Run down the aisle or something. I'm believing God that when you send an email, the first time they're going to respond to it. I believe in God that when you meet, and you're not going to be an afterthought. They're going to say, who is that? Because the favor of God is going to be on your life. The church has a voice that needs to be heard. But here's the responsibility. When we speak, we need to be saying something. Not just a bunch of racket. Not just a bunch of noise. Not just a bunch of jargon. We want loaded words with the power of God that will bring change in life. And the next thing that happens when they perform, they took the city for God. I told God, I want these cities. I want Shelbyville. I want Murfreesboro. I want to see people saved. They went in and conquered this thing not to feel good about themselves, but they did it for God. Whenever you put God at the forefront of whatever mission you do, God will always make your conquest successful. When you say, God, I want this job for you. Yes, I want you to show up, and I want to be a witness to somebody. There's some of you young ladies and some of you young men who have come through horrible situations. And you say, God, I want you to do great things to show people coming behind me that you can come from a bad situation, but the bad situation don't have to have you. I want you to get the glory out of my marriage because things are falling apart around me. I want to take this city for you. Can I stop and ask you a question? Does anybody want to take the city for God? Does anybody believe that our cities need God? Can I leave you with something before I finish? The voice that is heard in the city is your life. It's how you live. It's your business. It's your work ethic. It's your conversation. The only Jesus some people will hear is how you live. They not picking up and reading Joshua chapter 6 where you work. They not talking about marching down walls, but when they see walls come down, they will say there is a God. Because the wall says you'll never get promoted. The wall said nobody that looks like you will ever get that position. The wall say you'll never come out of this. But the promise says greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And when we take the city for God, the world will see and know that he is God. And beside him there is none other. I'll close with this. When you are obedient to God, your roadblocks will turn into welcoming mats. When you follow God's plan, the Bible said on the seventh day, they shouted with a loud voice and the trumpets went and the walls came down. Can I ask you a question? They shouted and the walls came down. The walls didn't come down and then they shouted. Can I ask you a question? Can you love God in the face of your trouble? Can you love people with no expectation of return? Can you work when you don't feel like it? Do you know how much stuff we do because you feel like it? Man, you're so nice today. Why are you being so nice? I don't know. I just feel good today. So when you feel bad, I'm going to get out of your way. Man, you're working out hard today. Why are you working out so hard? I just felt like working out today. Most of us do stuff when we feel like it. But can you give 100% when you don't feel 100%? Can you give it everything you got when you don't feel like it? When the enemy is telling you to quit, when the enemy is telling you to go lackluster, can you give it everything you got when you do? Because Satan is trying to talk you out of your effort. He's trying to talk you out of getting in faith because he knows when you go forth and when you declare certain things, your roadblocks are going to become your welcoming mats. I let this out. The young man I was witnessing to, he was a very smart guy, ran circles around me. He was an attorney. Nothing wrong with being an attorney. I believe God to raise up more attorneys. This guy, but he figured out everything in his head. And I remember we were talking about church, and we were going through, and we were a different kind of church than what he was used to. We spoke in tongues. We shouted. We lifted our hands. And I remember a conversation that we were having one-on-one. He said, I don't know if this church is a good fit for me. And I said, why not? He said, I don't really do all that. He said, I don't see the need to wave my hands. I don't really feel like crying. I'm not an emotional person. He said, I don't really understand all that speaking in tongues. And he said, you know, I'm not really into shouting and all that stuff like that. He said, that's good and fine. But he said, it's not necessarily me. So he said, I'm not sure this is a good fit. I said, hey, man, I want to challenge you. It's real. I said, everybody doesn't express themselves the same way. Have you ever noticed when somebody tells a joke, somebody may say, ha, that's funny. Other people just fall out. I said, but God is good no matter how you express it. He said, I understand God is good, but that ain't for me. He kept coming. He kept coming. And one Sunday, we were praying. It was a team of us praying on the altar. And I got to my person to pray for, and it was him. And there were tears running down his eyes. And I laid my hands on his head, and he threw them hands up and said, thank you, Jesus. I said, wait a minute. I didn't preach that. My pastor preached that. I know he preached a good sermon, but I knew it was more than a sermon that had to pull him in because he was too smart. After service, I said, hey, let me talk to you, bro. I said, you were at the altar today. You said you weren't into that stuff. He said, man, you'll never believe what happened. He said, I walked into work on Friday, and they called me in the office and told me they were eliminating my position. And he said, I didn't know nowhere else to turn. And you've been talking about God, and if I praised him and if I worshiped him long enough, that I figured I tried it. He said, I came to the altar, and when I lifted my hands, he said, I felt something lift off of me that I knew I walked in with. Can I tell you that if you will just stay persistent, if you will just stay the course, even when you feel like you're being ignored, God's going to open up a door for your voice to be heard, and his word is going to come forth. Don't you stop. Don't you quit doing what's right. God's going to open up a door, and your roadblock is going to become your welcoming mat. The very person you think that is ignoring you is listening. Because here's the thing about truth. You can't escape it. Truth is so strong that me and Barbara can be in the middle of it. And she ain't nowhere around. But I'll be riding down the road and the Holy Spirit said, you know you're wrong. I said, uh-uh. Not today. I'm going where I'm going. He said, no, you know you need to call her. You know you're wrong. You know you need to apologize. You know you need to get that thing right. And the Holy Spirit will mess with you with so bad with nobody around. And you'll call and say, I am sorry. That's not who I am. I value what we're doing because you can't escape truth. I want to challenge every frustrated person in here. Don't you focus on the problem. The promise is loaded with truth. And if you will declare the truth of the Lord, you will see freedom because the truth supersedes your feelings. Can I challenge somebody in here? The reason why many of us are frustrated right now is because we're in our feelings and not in our faith. Stand to your feet. When you stand in faith, it doesn't ignore your feelings. It says, I know how you feel, but just keep living. That feeling's going to get better. I want to bow your head and close your eyes. Every person that is facing a roadblock in your life that you need to see come down. My challenge to you today is identify your problem. Get a promise from God. What's on the other side of this?